Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Om du vill få tillgång till hela avsnittet, ja, då går du in på patreon.com/sinnessjukt och blir medlem där.
Man brukar säga att den så kallade vargmannen är Freuds mest berömda fall.
The case just is really sort of revealed that Freud wasn't a very good scientist.
Det bör man känna till, att den här uppfattningen att han inte var en vetenskapsman och var väl fantasifull, det bekräftar han själv, och det erkänner personen i hans omgivning.
You test your hypotheses and when they're found to be wrong you throw them out. Well, Freud wasn't willing to do that.
Och därför så har det blivit remarkabelt att en patient som träder fram och säger att nej, Freud har beskrivit mig på ett överdrivet framgångsrikt sätt.
It does place Freud in a much more critical light as someone who fundamentally didn't understand the basic principles of science.
Efter kokainåren, Anna O och Freuds första egna fallstudie Dora, skulle psykoanalysen komma att explodera över hela världen. Ett av de sista stora hindren tornade upp sig på 1910-talet, då två av de viktigaste lärjungarna plötsligt vände Freud ryggen. De lämnade rörelsen och riktade nu skarp kritik mot Freud. De dramatiska avhoppen riskerade att splittra rörelsen i ett kritiskt skede, och Freud insåg att han var tvungen att agera. Lösningen blev en förmögen rysk patient, vargmannen, vars historia räddade det teoretiska bygget. Men när den verkliga patienten dog 1979 publicerades en förödande intervjubok där vargmannen blev den första och enda patienten som gett sin egen version av Freuds behandling. Du lyssnar på den fjärde och sista delen av Sinnessjukt dokument om Sigmund Freud med mig, Christian Dahlström.
There was a kind of a watershed that took place in the 1970s. In part, I think it began with Henry Ellenberger's discovery of the unconscious, which is a marvelous book, which had quite an interesting sort of general revision of how one sees Freud, and in some ways sort of whittled away at the Freud legend.
När professor Frank Soloway idag ser tillbaka på rörelsen som på 1970-talet började avtäcka Sigmund Freuds hemligheter, poängterar han att Freuds anseende på den tiden fortfarande var mycket högt. Precis som Freddy Cruz och många andra beundrade Soloway på den tiden fortfarande Freud. I sin bok från 1979, Freud, Biologist of the Mind, skriver Soloway att det kanske var så som den amerikanske sociologen Philip Reeve uttryckte det, att Freuds tankar var de viktigaste tankar som publicerats under hela 1900-talet.
And I think today, looking back, I would not have said possibly. I would have found some more critical way to say it. However, that quotation really does sort of sum up how things were in the late 1970s, with Freud riding quite high. His stock was very valuable back in those days.
Som vetenskapshistoriker hade Soloway dessutom lärt sig vikten av att inte ägna sig åt så kallad Whig-historia, där man tolkar historiska personers agerande utifrån modern tro och tänkande, istället för att betrakta dem i en historisk kontext. Han tar som exempel att han lätt hade kunnat skriva en bok om hur korkad Aristoteles var om han struntade i den historiska kontexten. Men även om Frank Soloway än idag tycker att somliga kritiker, såsom Freddy Cruz, är för hårda mot Freud i det här avseendet. Inser han att hans egen bok saknade viktig information om hur Freud förvanskat sina fallstudier. Boken blev därför väl skonsam mot Freud som vetenskapsman. 1991 skrev Salloway därför en text där han gick igenom Freuds 6 större fallstudier. En text som man ser som ett kompletterande kapitel till sin inflytelserika bok från 1979.
And that was my attitude toward Freud. I wasn't sort of out to the way some modern critics, including Fred Cruz, I wasn't sort of out to sort of destroy his reputation or whatever. I wanted to understand him in the context of the late 19th century. And although my book was quite critical of Freud in terms of his adoption of non-Darwinian perspectives and the errors that introduced into psychoanalysis, I didn't particularly focus on him in a way that would be sort of judgmental about his abilities as a scientist. Now, that having been said, what the case history revealed was that his sort of penchant toward speculation and disrespect for the hypothetical-deductive method, that is to say, testing your theories, just jumped out at you in the case histories. And the case histories really sort of reveal that Freud wasn't a very good scientist. And so when I wrote the paper I did on the case histories in 1991, I really reviewed that as sort of a chapter I should have included in the book, because Whiggish history aside, it does place Freud in a much more critical light as someone who fundamentally didn't understand the basic principles of science.
Enligt Frank Salloway gick det snabbt ut för Freud under åren efter hans egen bok publicerats 1979. Och avslöjanden på 80-talet innebar att Freuds tid som uppburen vetenskapsman var över, åtminstone i forskarkretsar.
I was sort of part of that wave, and looking back, I'm actually quite grateful that I got interested in Freud and wrote my book when I did, because in the next 10 years, the revision was sort of over. And if you were then publishing on Freud, you were kind of beating a dead horse, in my opinion. I have great admiration for Fred Cruz, but his wonderful book on the problems with the case histories and going back to read the original correspondence with his wife and fiance, it really doesn't add anything to what we know, which is that Freud in many ways was fundamentally wrong, that he distorted a lot of the information about the case histories and so forth. So I'd have to say that quotation that you gave sort of sums the vision of Freud in the general public quite nicely at the time I published my book, which was 1979. And if I could sort of be so bold, I would say it was all downhill after that for Freud.
Freud was schooled in the scientific methods of the 19th century laboratory, which stressed the importance of experimentation, observation, and measurement. He became an expert in neurology.
It's very important for people to recognize Freud was trained as a biologist. He was about 40 years old and had a decade of research under his belt as a biologist before he ever began doing anything like psychoanalysis.
Frank Salloway berättar att många än idag underskattar vikten av att Sigmund Freud i grunden var naturvetenskapligt skolad. Freud skulle visserligen utveckla ett komplicerat förhållande till naturvetenskap, där han å ena sidan hävdade att psykoanalysen var en naturvetenskap, men å andra sidan menade att psykoanalysen inte behövde följa naturvetenskapens principer. Freuds teorier bygger dock på olika naturvetenskapliga hypoteser, och det var detta som Salloway belyste i sin bok från 1979.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Salloway pekar där på att flera av de här hypoteserna redan hade visat sig vara felaktiga på Freuds tid, vilket Freud helt enkelt struntade i. Andra har i efterhand visat sig felaktiga, vilket gör att Freuds teorier faller av det skälet. Salloway berättar exempelvis om en central del av Freuds teori, den om hur neurotiska symptom lagras som energi i hjärnan, vilket bygger på termodynamikens första lag.
He was a sort of a evolutionary biologist of sorts, and the most critical assumptions that he adopted from this background in biology were, first of all, the sort of the conservation of energy. This is a principle set forth by Hermann Helmholtz and others in the late 19th century. And it's basically, if you've got energy, it can't go away. It's conserved, so it's got to go somewhere. And what Freud did is to interpret neurotic symptoms as a form of energy, for example, libido, sexual energy, that isn't being expressed in a healthy way through sexual intercourse. It's being blocked in some way by repression or, phobias or whatever, and maybe even made unconscious so the patient doesn't even recognize the urge is there. But that energy has to be conserved. And where does it go? It goes into neurotic symptoms that the patient doesn't understand. That's Helmholtz's theory of the conservation of energy. Well, we know today that's just totally wrong. That's not the way the physiology of the human body or the human brain works. So that's a pretty fundamentally wrong assumption that undermines a lot of Freud's interpretation of neurotic symptoms and also the way dreams work.
Förutom Hermann Helmholtz och andra vetenskapsmäns nya teorier om hur energi fungerar, präglades 1800-talet även av Charles Darwins evolutionsteori. Frank Salloway har själv ägnat stora delar av sitt liv åt att forska om Charles Darwin och rest i hans fotspår. Salloway berättar om en felaktig hypotes som byggde på Darwins nya evolutionsteori, som framfördes av den tyske forskaren Ernst Haeckel. Han trodde att eftersom embryon hos olika djur är så lika varandra till utseendet, så innebär det att varje individ upprepar hela artens historia. Den här felaktiga hypotesen låg sedan till grund för Freuds teori om att barn återupprepar förhistoriska sexuella faser, där organismer först utvecklade munnar, sedan anus och sedan genitalier. Detta låg till grund för Freuds anala, orala och genitala faser.
Haeckel was famous for developing what's known as the biogenetic law. That is the notion that ontogeny, childhood, recapitulates phylogeny. And this notion comes from the fact that if you look at embryos.